Well, hello everyone, and again this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another old-fashioned Christ-honoring gospel program, and it's called The Voice of the Gospel. You know, from time to time I have people ask me, who is it that sponsors your program? Well friends, this radio broadcast is not sponsored by any church or denomination. It is kept on the air by the faithful and prayerful support of God's beloved people. I've been broadcasting the gospel by means of radio since March of 1956, and never once have I ever begged for money. No, I've proven the truth of Philippians 4 and verse 19, which promises that God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank God for His Holy Spirit, who has exercised His blood-bought and heaven-bound people to support this humble effort to reach a dying world with and for a living Christ. You know, friends, it disturbs me when I hear radio pastors spend valuable time begging the listeners for financial support. There they are, they're preaching salvation or healing by faith, and they themselves don't have faith enough to believe that God will supply their needs. Listen, friend, if God wants this program to stay on the air, nothing and no one could keep it off. On the other hand, if God, through His people, does not supply the needs, then it's about time the program left the air. In other words, I believe it is unscriptural for any preacher to beg for financial support. And the preacher shouldn't be preaching salvation or healing by faith if he himself doesn't have enough faith to believe that God will supply his needs too. Let's open up the broadcast today with a lovely tune, and it's entitled, Jesus Paid It All.
Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. A crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died. I go to say, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to Him my own.
Friends, I thank God today that Jesus paid it all. Yes, nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, so that He might bring us back to God. And when He declared, as we read in John 19 and verse 30, at the end of those hours of suffering on the cross, it is finished, He completed the work to God's entire satisfaction. Yes, He shed His own life's blood so that you and I might never know the torments of an eternal hell. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee, our God, for the truth of the hymn that we've been listening to today regarding the fact that Jesus paid it all. We thank Thee for the value and the virtue Thou hast placed upon His death at Calvary and the shedding of His own life's blood. And Father, our desire is to see others saved, so we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word wherever Christ is being preached. We pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, if you care to follow me in the scriptures I'll be using as my text for today, two verses as we find them in the Gospel by Mark. Mark chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 36. Mark 8, beginning at verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, in the two verses which we've just read together, we have brought before us two of the most important statements ever made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Mark 8 and 36, he asks the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Then he follows up this question with yet another question, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, friends, I believe I'm speaking to someone out there in Radio Land today, and these two questions could very well be searching your heart and soul even now. Yes, some of you listening in today are living a life of ambition, a life of greed and fulfillment of every desire. You're spending all your time laying up treasures on earth. You're spending all your efforts towards achieving temporal goals. You're spending all your money to satisfy the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yes, my friend, you're living as though you were never going to die. But God tells us over there in Hebrews 9 and 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, you're going to meet God. And regardless of your fame, your fortune, your name, or your position in life, the time will come when you must leave this earthly scene and pass out into the vast eternity that lies ahead. Ah, but sad to say, men and women, boys and girls, even today, are busy seeking success, fame, adventure, money, pleasures, and position that they give little or no thought to meeting God. Yes, they think about these things, but they don't realize that at the end of it all, they've got to meet God. You know, friend, over in Amos 4 and 12, we read these most solemn words, "Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God." And oh, how many people today are going into eternity without preparing to meet God. Well, friend, I want you to know that even though you're not preparing to meet God, God has prepared to meet you. I read in Psalm 9, verse 7, that the Lord hath prepared his throne for judgment. And yet, people, they have time for everything else, but no time for God. They have time for reading the paper, but no time for God. They have time for radio and television, but no time for God. They have time for sports and amusements, but no time for God. They have time for education and employment, but no time for God. They have time for vacations and holidays, but absolutely no time for God. Ah, listen, sinner friend. You can spend a lifetime of building up your earthly treasures and in fleshly gratification, but remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I can't help but think of that rich man of whom we read over in Luke chapter 12, who was so prosperous in the things of this world. God had blessed him to the extent that he had become exceedingly greedy and had made plans to expand his facilities for receiving the blessing from God. He even went so far as to tell himself that he could now retire. Yes, he could take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. Ah, but friend, listen. He forgot about God. He forgot about God, the one in whose hand his very breath is. He had left God out of his plans entirely. He had no time to talk to God about his condition. No, my friend, he didn't take God into his plans whatsoever. And what was the result? Well, God took the time to speak to him. And this is what God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Listen, sinner friend, what good would it do you to become the richest person on earth, then lose your soul? And what good would it do you to be the greatest and most respected person on earth, then lose your own soul? Or what good would it do to become the smartest person in your chosen field or profession if at the end of this sojourn called life, you would drop into the flames of hell? Friend, I speak to you today from the very depths of my heart. Don't let the devil rob you of God's great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, the devil is the enemy of your soul, and as such, he is determined to lull you into the flames of hell. He knows the weakness of mankind, so he uses these weaknesses to claim our souls. And I might add that his greatest weapon is the big lie. Yes, the big lie. He'll tell you that the Bible is not the Word of God. He'll tell you that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. He'll tell you that there's no such a place as hell. He'll tell you that you can be saved by good works or church membership or religious ritual. He'll tell you that God wouldn't cast a creature of his into hell. And friends, if these lies don't succeed, he'll tell you that you should get saved, but not today. He'll show you all the pleasures of sin, and he'll hypnotize you with position, money, fame, and fortune. But friend, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now there may be someone listening in today who honestly believes that they can purchase or buy their way into God's heaven. You give liberally to every cause of charity, and you pledge a large sum to the support of your church. You're always ready to give financial help to those who are less fortunate than yourself. You give money to be sent to the missionaries, and you believe in giving one-tenth of all you earn to the religion of your choice. Well, friends, I'm 100% in favor of supporting the cause of Christ, whether locally or abroad. But please don't ever get the idea that merely because you support your church, you are saved or born again. Oh, no. I read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, in that same chapter, in verse 23, we read that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, every once in a while, you read in the newspapers where a wealthy man dies and leaves thousands and perhaps millions of dollars to various church denominations, most of which are doctrinally opposed to one another. Perhaps he wanted to make sure that he was helping the right church. Well, friend, it just won't work. You can't buy your way into heaven. Salvation is without money and without price. It's a free gift of God. We read over in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we read in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, my friend, salvation is absolutely not for sale. It's absolutely free through simple faith in the blood of Christ. A few years ago, I read in the newspaper where three of the world's richest men passed out of time into eternity. One was so rich that every year his weight was matched with gold as a gift on his birthday. The other man was so rich that, among other things, he had 44 Cadillacs in his possession when he died. The third man left an estate that would have made 3,000 millionaires. Yes, here were three men that could enjoy every pleasure known to man, but the fact remains that they all died. They all died. And let me add that if they had never been born again by the Spirit and Word of God, these three men are even now weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Yes, regardless of the fact that they had been so rich while here on earth, nevertheless, if they had never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're lost. Yes, they're down in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then I think of that man, Alexander the Great, who at the age of 33 had conquered the world as it was then known. Ah, but friend, he died that same year, and at his own request, he was laid in a casket with his hands hanging out. He wanted to show the world that even though he had conquered all, he couldn't take any of it with him. Listen, friend, when you die, you can't take your money with you. When you die, you can't take your property with you. When you die, you can't take your pleasures with you. No, my friend, when you die, your soul goes to either one of two places, and there only are two places, either heaven or hell. If you've been saved or born again, your soul goes to heaven. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, your soul will spend all eternity in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. So, friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, just admit that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner in God's sight. Admit that there's no merit in your so-called good works, church membership, or rituals. Admit that God would be perfectly just if He cast you into hell. Then in repentance before God, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Friends, I was saved by God's grace while a patient in the Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh on June the 2nd, 1952. And I can honestly say before God today, and without fear of justifiable contradiction, I wouldn't trade one second of my salvation for all the money in the world. Now, I mean that, friend. I wouldn't trade one second of my salvation for all the money in the world. And you know why? Well, friend, I'd be afraid that the Lord would come during that 1 second of time. And here I'd be the wealthiest man of all time, but my soul would be lost. Yes, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the reason He sent His Son from heaven to die in your guilty room and in your stead. Only a sinless sacrifice could possibly die for our sin. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood so that you could be saved from sin, so that you could be saved from wrath, so that you could be saved from hell. Yes, He died on Calvary's cross. He was the just one dying for you and I the unjust, so that He might bring us back to God. So, friend, get a hold of that fact. Christ died for you. Now, friend, you might not believe that, and if you don't, you'll go down to hell. But if you believe that today with all your heart, the Word of God says you'll be saved. Now, up till now, we've been discussing the first question which the Lord Jesus Christ asked, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, let's spend a few minutes looking at the second question. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, if you're unsaved today, it's because you're placing more value on something other than your soul's eternal welfare. Now, what can it be? What is it, friend? What is it that you prize more than the gift of eternal life? What is it that keeps you from the knowledge of sins forgiven? And what is it that is more important than your soul's eternal destiny? Well, I believe there are some of you listening in today, and you're completely unaware of your spiritual condition before Almighty God. Friend, the Word of God tells us in Romans 3 and 23 that there's no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over in Ephesians 2 and 1 we read that the unsaved are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And finally, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us over in John 3 and verse 3 that except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No, my friend, if you've never been born again by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, you'll never be in God's heaven. Now, I believe that there are some listening in today, and this is the first time you've ever heard those verses of Scripture quoted. In other words, the truth of God has been hidden from you, and you've been left to grope in the darkness of self-reasoning and finite thought. Friend, over in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, we read that the devil hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, if people today will only read the Word of God. Instead, they leave their soul's destiny in the feeble hands of another mere human. Yes, they're exchanging their soul for ignorance of God's Word. They just won't take the time to read their Bible to see their true spiritual condition in God's sight, and then to find the remedy for that condition, which is the shed blood of God's Son. Now, something else I believe that sinners are exchanging their souls for is fear. Yes, I said fear. Many of you listening in today are fully aware of the fact that you're not saved. You know down deep in your heart. Your soul would be in the flames of hell. You also know how the Holy Spirit of God has been convicting you of your sin. Yes, you know all this and more, but you're still unsaved. Now, what's the reason? Why, it's fear. You're afraid, friend. You're afraid of what your wife or husband would say if you accepted Christ as your Savior. I know, because the devil used to tell me that if I got saved, my wife would think I was a religious fanatic and leave me. But thank God my own conversion was soon followed by that of my wife. Friend, listen. In Proverbs 29 and verse 25, here's what we read. The fear of man bringeth a snare, it's a trap, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, I believe that there are some men and women listening to my voice today who know that they're unsaved, but they fear those with whom they work and associate. They're afraid they'll be laughed at, talked about, and perhaps even ostracized. Well, friends, remember this. These people whom you fear are on their way to hell themselves. Yes, and remember this too. They may laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out. I think of those words by the Lord Jesus Christ found in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have not more that they can do, but rather fear him, meaning God, who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say rather, fear him. In other words, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ says that your fellow man can only do so much to you, but God has the power not only to take your life, but also to cast you into hell. So he's the one that we should fear. In Proverbs 9 and 10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. An unsaved friend, you'll never be saved until you fear the power and wrath of God. Until you realize that you're a hell-deserving sinner, and God could cast you into the flames at any time. Yes, the trouble with people today is that they fear man rather than God. Well, friends, I wasn't saved too long before I learned the precious truth the hard way. The more I fear God, the less I fear man. Now, still another reason why people are exchanging their soul salvation is because of false pride, false shame, or false embarrassment. Now, listen to me, friends, because I don't want to be misunderstood in what I'm about to say. I believe that there are some of you listening in today who call yourselves Christians, and yet, my friend, even though you have an apparent date of conversion, and even though you claim a verse of Scripture, even though you read your Bible, you say your prayers, you fast, you tithe, you belong to a so-called fundamental church, friend, down deep in your heart, you know that if you were to die right now, your soul would be in hell. And friend, if you're taking offense at what I'm saying, it's further proof that you've never been born again at all. Listen. This land of ours is filled with people who have nothing more than a religion or profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Why, this diabolical race to get people to make a decision for Christ without a heart broken and contrite repentance for sin must bring a stench to the nostrils of God. Friend, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Jesus Christ. And if you've never repented of your sins and owned the lordship of God's Son in your life, you're not saved at all. If the Holy Spirit of God is not directing your life and witnessing with your spirit, friend, I don't care whether you're a radio preacher or a religious leader of millions, you're still on your way to the flames of hell. Yes, this world is filled with those who have a profession of Christ without the root of the matter within them. And the sad part about it is the fact that many of those who profess Christ as their Lord are fully aware of the fact that He isn't their Lord at all. They've never surrendered their will to Him. And simply because they're too embarrassed to admit it and renounce their pride, they would rather go on deluding themselves and others than end up in the lake of fire. Listen, friend, don't exchange your soul for a false profession. Regardless of the cost to your pride, right now bow your heart before God, repent of your sin, acknowledge the Lordship of Christ as well as your Savior, and know the joy of sins forgiven. Well, I see my time's about gone, but I do want to mention very briefly another item which is costing people their soul, and that is procrastination. Yes, procrastination. Some of you out in Radio Land today are under the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. You realize you're lost, you realize you're spiritually dead, and you know you're on the broad road that leads to hell. But what are you going to do about it, friend? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because you're exchanging your soul for a little longer season of sin. You expect to get saved later on. Perhaps when you're old and ready to die. Perhaps when you've had your fill of sin. Oh, listen, friend. God says in Genesis 6 and verse 3, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Again in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Then I think of that solemn warning back in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. There God declares, He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So friend, right now, wherever you are and whoever you may be, acknowledge before God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we again bow our hearts at the close of another radio broadcast to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the value Thou hast placed upon His death at Calvary. And our God, we trust that even now Thy Holy Spirit might be bringing both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of those who are listening in who've never been saved and born again. Pluck them as brands from the burning, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, if you'd like to have a cassette tape of this broadcast today, I'll be only too happy to send it to you absolutely free, postpaid, and without any kind of obligation whatsoever. Yes, I'll send you a cassette tape not only containing today's message, but also another one-half-hour radio gospel message on the other side of the tape. You know, Christian friends, sometimes an unsaved person will listen to a taped message in the comfort and privacy of their own home or automobile, and yet they would never go to a gospel meeting when requested to do so by their Christian friends or relatives. I might add, too, that at the present time, these tapes are being sent to every continent on earth without cost or obligation to those requesting them. God has been pleased to save poor lost souls who have heard these tapes, and this gives us much joy and encouragement. So, friend, if you'd like to have a cassette tape with 2 one-half-hour gospel messages on it, just write and request it, and you'll receive it without cost or obligation whatsoever. Just write to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again, Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, that's P.A., 15134. Now, until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.